Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host today, Teresa Martin, who's one of our agents. Hey, Teresa.
Hello, Lou.
You ready for a good show?
I'm ready.
All right. Teresa's been with us a little over a year, so the trilogy is I'm the professor. Teresa is the student, and Johnny, you're going to be our guest today. You're going to be our expert on the topic, Mission Possible. Buying or selling homes, land or farms, or want to auction your property in western Piedmont, North Carolina, or southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our company website now is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's A-L-L-S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. This show is dedicated to the Realtors and Land Institute, and our guest today and I are both members of that. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so make sure you stay tuned. Dr. Barbie always has something good to talk about. Hey, our guest today, Teresa's Johnny Andrew McAllister. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Lou. I'm delighted to be here.
We're so excited to have you. I've been wanting to have you on your show. I had your beautiful wife about a year and a half ago. She's a retired judge. She was a federal judge, wasn't she?
She was a state court judge in South Carolina and
okay.
Served on the administrative law court.
Gotcha. But it was delightful, and I'd love to have her back on. She had a lot of great information on some of the legal aspects that zoning and all the different things, restrictions and stuff that we have to deal with from the legal aspect. So love to have her back on, give her our best regards. Hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about you, Johnny. You were born in Abbeville, South Carolina, raised in Mount Carmel. You're South Carolina, graduated from the Cambridge Academy. I'm sure that's a military academy down there in Greenwood, South Carolina, right?
It's a private high school.
Private high school. Okay. Back then, there weren't a lot of those around, were there?
No, there was not. There were not.
And you and I share something. We're both Eagle Scouts. I was never president of our Student Government Association, but you set example at Campbell students, two younger brothers, they're Eagle Scouts, and you have two younger sisters. You've got quite a family. I think one of the greatest things that you've accomplished was going to the Citadel. You got a B.S. degree in business administration, and you went to Harvard to the JFK School and certified senior management government program, UNC Chapel Hill, and the Kagan Flagler certification. All these incredible accomplishments, Johnny. Executive Program Professional Management Education, accomplished Citadel Regimental Operations Officer, President of Rod and Gun Club, and the Orphans Fund Committee. Impact began principal leadership concept at the Citadel, and I'm sure that program's still continuing from what you set up there. You were commissioned by the Army Corps of Engineers, retired colonel with 25 years commissioned in the South Carolina National Guard. Now, I share that a little bit with you, too. I was in the North Carolina National Guard and went to OCS after 2 years and graduated and moved to New York City. And that's when Vietnam was closing down. They didn't have a slot for me, so I only got to serve as a lieutenant for 2 days, my graduation day, my reporting day to the Park Avenue Army there in Manhattan, and that was it. But anyway, you also have been a consultant of National Guard Bureau. You graduated as Command General Staff College, institutionalized strategic planning and quality process for the Guard, former member of the Joint Services Department, Military Department of South Carolina, Impact Cold War I, and Soldiers Trained in Global War and Terror. And then in the government, in the Southeastern Federal Power Administration, developed strategic alliances among partners with the U.S. Corps of Engineers and preferred power customer accomplishments. Self-funding in the federal power projects in the Southeast, Impact Clean, Reliable, Inexpensive Hydro Power for 12 million retail customers. And you own your own company, John McAllister Real Estate Consulting. And it's an LLC. It's a real estate brokerage. You have real estate auctions, mergers, acquisitions, Teresa, what was, yeah, you got me on
divestiture.
There you go.
Divestitures. Getting rid of stuff is what I was told. I said, what is divestitures?
And most impressively out of our relationship, you were our national president of the Realtors Land Institute. We're about 1,300 members strong. We're part of the National Association of Realtors. And we're about, what, 77 years old now, Johnny? I think something like that.
That's correct.
And one thing I want to toot your horn for is, President, we used to have our land conferences, you know, at the national meetings as a breakout or at the mid-year. And you instigated the very first land conference that was in hosted in San Antonio, Texas. That was in 2008, was it?
2007.
Seven. Okay. And we were supposed to be, I was looking at my daytime, I was supposed to be flying back today from San Antonio for our annual land conference, which unfortunately we had to postpone. But we did have on Monday and Tuesday, we had our virtual conference. And I just want to shout out kudos to our staff. I think they're the best in NAR to pull that together. And we want to talk about a little bit in our show today some about some of the guest speakers, and if that's okay with you, because, you know, we got the best of the best, and I'm so proud of our organization and the things we do. You've got licenses in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. Of course, you're accredited land consultant like myself. There's about, I believe, Johnny, about 500 of us nationwide. And then you're also an accredited auctioneer real estate. You carry that designation. So, I've got about three or four more pages here, but it's quite a few. Let me just throw one thing here. It's kind of interesting. It said this year you were the fourth highest record-setting year with over $740 million in advanced capital investment. That is some accomplishment, Johnny. You impacted over 1,500 new jobs with a total of 27 new collections and expansions. Foreign direct investments were almost 50% of the total announced investment in the region, totaling $353 million. Do you ever sleep, Johnny?
Very lightly and rarely.
Johnny, how long did it take you to get your ALC? That's something I'm interested in.
Thank you, Teresa, for asking that question. It took me 3 years to attain my accredited land consultant designation, and it was very different then, over 20 years ago when I started. It involved going literally from coast to coast to attend various educational opportunities. It was very time-consuming, and it was very expensive. And I'll tell you that, for me, the accredited land consultant designation has been priceless.
Well, that's good to know. I would like to do that. I know it's going to be time-consuming, and I know there's a lot to it, but Lou says it's very worthwhile.
Well, if you hang around with me, you got to get it, Teresa.
I know.
You got to go somewhere else.
I have been told.
Teresa, the good news is that in the new format that we have, you go and for a period of 9 days, you get most of the coursework out of your way for your accredited land consultant at one time.
Actually,
that's awesome.
Actually, you can get it all. There's quite a few. I wrote, there's two students that I've mentored that got their ALC this year that last year went through the fast track and got all of their classes. And one of them was just waiting on getting his $10 million in sales. But you'll get there, too. And we'll be proud when you get it. I hope I'm around to pin your pin on you.
I hope you are, too.
Hey, Johnny, you got something I want to share with our listening audience today. And you created something. I've been watching you build this thing. It's called Mission Possible. What is Mission Possible?
Mission Possible, John McAllister Realty Consulting, was the rebrand that was done in 2008. The name of the company, John McAllister Realty Consulting, is not named for me, but for my great-grandfather who started the business in 1888. Wow. I'm one of the very few people that can say that he does what his great-grandfather did, and that is, I meet with people that have property. They don't know what to do with the property. They may want to buy more property. Usually, these days, they want to sell their property. And if they want to sell their property, they want to get the most money for it, Lou. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir. That's our job.
So, when I was a cadet at the Citadel, I saw a process that I adopted for my firm. Now, this process that I use looks a lot like the process that you and I were taught in the United States Army, and that is the Army decision-making process. The reason that it looks like the Army decision-making process is that it is the Army decision-making process.
Okay.
One day, I may pay some sort of a fee to the U.S. Army. Again, one day I may do that, but right now I will use the process to optimize the price on my client's property.
Okay. Can you go through that process for us?
I certainly can, Luke. Now, keeping in mind, this can be used with all classes of property. And as you know, with strategic alliances that I've developed with entities like Sabre Capital out of Raleigh, North Carolina, we not only optimize price on real property, but going concerns, such as businesses. So that process that I developed is a very simple process that from time to time can be extremely difficult to execute.
Why is that?
The first phase is the analysis of the situation.
Okay.
That can take hours, days, or weeks, based upon the class of property, the people involved, and the situation. And based upon that analysis of the situation, we move into the second, the identification and development of action plans. And if we determine that the best course of action is that the property be sold, you've already agreed with me that they want to get the most money for the property, then when we develop these action plans, there are going to be four ways that we primarily transfer property. Traditional private treaty, sealed bid, sale, auction, convertible bid, sale, convertible auction, and the open outcry auction method. So those are the four ways, four courses of action that we take that lead us in to the final three stages: the marketing and education phase, the sales and closing phase, and the evaluation and follow-up, which is a continuous improvement process that brings us back to new projects with phase one analysis situation.
Hey, let me just say something here real quick. This is also applicable for just general business management too, right? Not necessarily the auction phase, but the analysis of the situation and, of course, identification and development of plans. Those first two things really are applicable to any business situation. Is that true?
Yes. This is the accelerated marketing process that we just shared. But it's also referred to as the John McAllister Realty Consulting decision-making process.
Okay.
So you've got the JMRC AMP, and you've got the JMRC DMP. and they're essentially the same processes with different goals and different objectives.
Okay. Our guest today is John McAllister. This is Let's Talk Land.
Ready to
okay,
go.
Johnny, here, this process that you're talking about, you know, these first two things, the analysis of the situation, identification and development of plans, we've all been selling real estate for a while, Teresa, not so long, but, you know, we have our methodology of how we go through. What's different from what you're doing?
Well, we use experts in various fields. We bring a group of professionals together. They can be attorneys, they can be CPAs, they can be foresters, and where we work together to achieve the goal and the objective of the client. So you ask about Mission Possible. We've all seen Mission Possible, the TV series.
Right.
And Mr. Phelps, played by Mr. Phelps, that character is me. And what I do, I go through a selection of photographs in the portfolio that I know have proven processes, proven procedures, and proven results. And I go through them, and I select the most qualified, if it be an auction firm, the most qualified auction firm, the most qualified business evaluation team, the most qualified group of attorneys, if the client does not already have those in place.
Okay.
And then I put a team together that will allow us to focus on the client's property alone. We're going to utilize a worldwide advertising campaign, which uses digital advertising extensively, marketing through all of the social media, direct mail, email. We use some traditional advertising. We use some, where it's appropriate, radio advertising. So all of this creates a sense of urgency. It eliminates the guesswork in pricing a property. It optimizes the true value of the property. We have the buyers acting on our client's schedule. And with this process, we have offers. From the day we start, we have offers usually within 30 to 60 days or less. All of our conditions are set in advance. The property is sold without contingencies, and then we close in 30 days or less.
Right. That's pretty interesting. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about my property that I'm getting ready to list with all the special
features.
Yeah, that sounds like something I could use with that.
Which one's that one?
The one with the ornamental trees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is quite unique.
Yeah, that's going to be quite unique. It's a piece of property.
Works extremely well with unique, hard-to-value properties.
That would qualify.
I'm often asked, Johnny, do you sell residential property? And my usual response is, no, we're not traditional residential real estate specialists. And this past year, I think the first transaction that we had in 2019 was a residential estate over in Greenwood County, South Carolina. So this does work extremely well also in residential property and estates.
Yeah, the piece of property that I've got that I'm going to list, it's 50 acres, so it's not huge, but it's not small. But what's special about it is he has went in and planted unique ornamental varieties of trees for landscapers, you know, for people to use. He's got actually trees at the White House and different places.
DuPont, the driveway for the main entrance coming into DuPont.
Coming into DuPont, yeah, it's a lot. So he done this as his retirement, and he's had all these trees growing on it for years. So it's going to be, you know, it's not just worth what the land is worth. This is going to be something unique and
Johnny,
special.
Johnny, some of these trees sell for $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 each.
Oh, my God. They were beautiful.
Ornamental Japanese, a lot of Japanese.
And, like
I've never seen anything
like
it.
We may get
it.
You to help us on this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I would be delighted. And for professionals, I do a no-cost, no-obligation analysis of the situation, Lou.
Right.
So you, Teresa, our fellow members of the Accredited Land Consultant, Realtors Land Institute, National Auctioneers Association, I am always available to assist and consult on a property. No cost, no obligation.
We always say we charge a good value for good service.
Well, I will be in touch when I get this listed.
Yeah, I'll hook you up. Yeah, no problem. That'd be great. So what else can you tell us about Mission Impossible, Johnny? This is all good stuff.
Lou, over the past, hard for me to believe, 42 years since I've been licensed in real estate.
Wow.
We have sold over 167 different classes of property. Teresa, just what you mentioned, a orchard would be one class of property. Manufacturing facilities would be another class of property. So it doesn't matter what the class of the property is, we can optimize the value of the property using this process, using what the people that I've grown up with in the auction business have taught me. People such as Mr. J.L. Todd out of Rome, Georgia, Gary Hammond out of Rome, Georgia, Stephen, the late Stephen Good out of Chicago, Illinois, Paul Galanis out of Florida now, and people just all over the country that have come forward and shown me that when you have one chance to sell a property, it's imperative that you get the most money for it.
Right.
And that's what we do.
Sure, of course. And, of course, our RLI family, you know, we both, and I know you do, I know I do, we utilize each other. It's unbelievable the talents that we have, especially on these specialty properties. You know, it's amazing to see the expertise and quality of agents that we have, guys and gals, landmen and landladies, all over the United States and even outside the United States that we can call upon and good faith, and you know they're going to help you. And we do it unconditionally. At least that's been my experience, and I'm sure it's been yours too, right, Johnny?
You're exactly right, Lou. One of the wonderful things about the Realtors Land Institute that you can pick up the phone and call the experts in whatever field that you're looking for, whether it's commercial sales, crop land. And we had many of those experts participate in our National Land Conference on Monday and Tuesday of this week.
Yes, sir, we did. Some of the best.
When you have people that are on the program, I just looked down the program list, George Harvey, former chairman of the National Association of Realtors Resort and Second Home Committee. He and I have worked together and have had joint conferences in places like Kiowa Island, South Carolina. Then I go and look at the other presenters. Bill Eschenbaum from Tampa, Florida. Bill the Dirt Dog, one of our APEC award winners. Every year he continues to share his wisdom. This year's presentation from Bill was crops and cows to kids and cars.
Yeah, it was really good, too.
I thought it was a it was a highlight for me. Bob Turner, ALC.
Can't say enough about
Memphis,
Bob.
Memphis, Tennessee. Yep. Talking about opportunity zones, very important for us now in what we're doing.
Yeah, Teresa and I listened to that one. Yeah. That was good, right?
Yeah, it was.
Casey Mock gave his land expert campfire chat. Charles Porter talking about water rights and real estate brokerage. And the highlight every year since we started back in San Antonio in 2007 in conjunction with the Texas Land Center based out of College Station, Texas A&M, Dr. Mark Dotzer.
Always loved
him. He gave his unbiased, unvarnished truth as he sees it today, where we've been, where we are now, going through this COVID-19 crisis, and what it's going to look like when we do get through this.
Yep. And Mark's so right on. I told Teresa, and she got to listen to that one, too, yesterday. Mark, and I've never been around anybody like him, and I've spent time socially with him as well. But he can tell you, he can outline what happened the previous year, but he can also forecast the future. And Johnny, as good as I'm sitting here, and you too, and Teresa, he's so right on. I mean, he's not 50% right. He's usually 80 or 90%. Sometimes he's daggum 100%. It's crazy every year. I can't believe what he says about, I agree with the past, that's easy to do. And sometimes I question the future, but then when we come back and look at what happened the year before, daggum if he wasn't right there. And he painted a pretty good picture, by the way, of what we're going through right now.
As far as I know, he was the only person that called the 2008 real estate crisis.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been with us every year, and I hope he's with us in the future. He's the last speaker. And, of course, we've got our Russell Riggs, our head lobbyist up in Washington. He's been on our show twice, and I've just invited him to hopefully come on next week. And I'm also going to be inviting all the presenters to come on the show because I want to share with the public out there, the listening audience, some of the things that that we're involved in and the quality of people that we surround ourselves with.
Well, I don't know how many listeners you're going to have, Lou, but I will be in the audience, I assure you, when you have some of these esteemed, accredited land consultants, certified commercial investment members, and industry experts.
Well, that's what this show's all about, is free land education, and we want to make sure that people have the opportunity. You know, there's no land education out there, Johnny. It really disturbs me and always has. And you know this. I've always been an advocate for this. But, you know, other than the Realtors Land Institute and our syllabus and our classes, that's really the only formal land education. Even the colleges and universities that offer the real estate schools, they don't talk about land. Our state organizations, our commissions that provide the licensing procedure, the syllabus, you know, in North Carolina it's 180 hours and then 90 more hours after you pass that original portion. And they don't even spend 10 minutes talking about land. Teresa went through it last year.
Yeah.
How much? Nothing. They throw up a slide in one of the classes. Says land is the most complicated of all real estate transactions. My goodness. And then the instructors, I've offered to go and write a course for the instructors in North Carolina that teach that particular portion of the course. So they can't answer the question, well, why is it? And, you know, I created a four-hour class. We have to have 8 hours of CE here in North Carolina, four required and four elective. And it's called Introduction to Land Brokerage. And, you know, this is the only land class in the history of North Carolina for CE credits. And there's over 300 titles. And I'm the only land instructor with the only land class. And then as I ask around, South Carolina, you don't have one. I can't find a state that has land other than RLI for CE credits. And that's a shame. And that's just, you know, that's just where we are.
But, well, I don't know if I shared with you the way I found out about the Realtors Land Institute. I was about to join the Greater Columbia Association of Realtors. This is when I married and moved to Columbia, South Carolina. And they had a what looked like one of those old mimeograph sheets.
Right.
With various societies, institutes, and councils of the National Realtors Association. And I saw the Realtors Land Institute. I picked up the phone and called my father, who had been a licensed real estate agent in South Carolina since 1949. I think it was the first year that required a real estate license. And I said, Dad, tell me about the Realtors Land Institute. He said, son, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Johnny, I'm going to cut us off. This is Johnny McAllister. Let's Talk Land. So, Johnny, we've got some very interesting things we're talking about today. Tell us a little bit about the you were getting into kind of the history of real estate, you know, like when your dad in 49, you called him, not in 49, but later, about advice and getting involved with the realtors. Pick up there and take us forward.
Certainly. So in 1999, I married Judge Carolyn Matthews. Moved to Columbia, South Carolina, and restarted my real estate career. And I found out about the Realtors Land Institute. So I found out that the chapter in South Carolina had been dormant.
Right.
And so to reconstitute that, I called the National Association of Realtors, and they said, we're going to have someone come over and meet with you and recharter the chapter. And that person was Bob Hatcher.
Yep, good old Bob.
Who was a national president at that time.
Yep, out of Atlanta, Georgia.
A registered forester, a syndicator, trader, trafficker in real property, mineral assets, and timber, forest products. Has been a mentor, a role model for me, and he came over and selflessly assisted us in starting our chapter. We had 12 members there present at the Summit Club, and that started a chapter here in South Carolina that focused primarily on land education, Lou, which you have dedicated your life to. And we had many instructors come over. We've mentioned one of them, Bill Eschenbaugh, his site selection course, Fletcher Majors, his transitional land course, Ned Massey with his subdivision course, all premier practitioners in these various areas gave their time to come over to provide land education for our members here in South Carolina and other members of our NAR family.
Right.
So that went on for a number of years, and at a point in time, we chose to rejoin the North Carolina chapter, forming the Carolinas chapter, which, Lou, you were, of course, instrumental and that consolidations of the two chapters. And that's the way we operate today, the Carolinas chapters, North and South Carolina, together, working for one thing, and that is the aggressive representation of our clients, buying, selling, and giving advice on real property.
That's true. You know, I joined, I took my first class with Ned Massey in 97 and actually joined RLI in 98. And, of course, I remember you coming in 99. And I've been, with the exception of a couple years, involved in every meeting nationally, the old meetings that we used to have mid-year. I was on.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed that we had to cancel our conference. I was so saddened. But I was so delighted yesterday after our two-day conference that I'm almost made whole. So it's not the same being around with everybody. I truly miss the fellowship. But
Lou, you'll agree with me that one thing about Realtors Land Institute members and Accredited Land Institute members specifically, we can improvise, adapt, and whatever the situation is, we can rise to the occasion. And our staff, Aubrey Coburnus, our staff leadership, and our volunteer leadership, I can't tell you how impressed I was with relatively short notice. I mean, in less than 2 weeks,
oh, I know.
They converted a physical conference to a virtual conference. And this is the new reality that we're in now, Lou.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I love going out, meeting, greeting, gripping and grinning, breaking bread, having a cup of coffee, Coca-Cola, with my customers, my clients, and prospective customers and clients. That's just not where we are today.
No, nope, and I'm afraid it's going
to
change.
Embrace this virtual technology, whether it be Zoom meetings or GoToMeetings. For years, I've used conference calling, but now this is a whole new level, engaging clients and engaging customers. It used to be, it was a rare thing when you had an online preview. I believe that's going to be the norm as we move forward, even once we get through the current crisis.
John, let me ask you something. Teresa and I were discussing it yesterday after Mark's presentation, but I got kind of a gut feeling, and that's always a good thing, and it's usually right. Good Lord gives that to us when it comes from the heart. And I'm crystal ball. I just kind of feel, you know, we're in a rural market here. You're in an urban area, Columbia. I know you work the rural areas too, but we're definitely in a rural area. And what I'm envisioning is that with this situation that we're in, there are a couple of things that's happening, Johnny. Number one is a lot of people aren't going to work. They're working at home, which they've never done before,
yeah.
Okay? But now they're also saying, you know, I live in Winston-Salem, or I live in Greensboro, or I live in New York City, or I live in Columbia, or I live in Atlanta, you know, the urban areas. And they're looking around, and there's their family at home. And they're saying, honey, what are we doing this for? Let's get out of here. Let's get out of this environment. Let's get into a rural area. Let's get us a tract of land, 5 acres, 10 acres, you know, whatever they competent. I can work from home. And I think we're going to start seeing a shift out of these urban areas. Don't you think so, Teresa?
Yeah, I do. I have been getting that already, actually.
Really? You've already had some calls?
Yes.
What about you, Johnny?
We're seeing that everywhere, Lou. People that thought it was hip, flip, and cool to live in downtown and urban areas, after they've been, let's call it, sequestered in their quarters, some of them going on 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, once they can leave, they're going to say to themselves, you know, wouldn't it have been nice to have a little grass outside?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been nice to be able to sit on the porch?
I mean, we got...
I completely agree with you. We've proven that we don't have to go to a central location to perform work anymore.
I mean, I could be
in the midst of now is a transition.
Yeah.
And that hip, slick, cool urban vibe, as Mark Dotzer said, if there was some way to short that on the market, I would be selling that one short right now, because I just think with what has transpired and what continues to go on, that the rural lifestyle, the places that I grew up, the McCormick, the Abbeville, the Greenwood counties, when you have what they have there, which is the broadband internet, putting in a plug for my dad. Another thing he did when he was 21 years old, he started his own phone company.
Really?
West Carolina Rural Telephone Company.
Wow, good for him.
And 30 years ago, we had fiber optic cable.
Wow.
Wow.
So with that, we were able to pass huge amounts of data, get into the broadband business. unsurpassed in that rural area of the South.
What a great story. You know, and we're seeing that here. You know, we've got four stoplights in Pilot Mountain, about 1,282 people, and I yell at all four of them. But, you know, you drive another couple blocks, and you're out in the country. And you can drive for hours, can't you, Teresa?
Yeah, I just got fiber optic 3 years ago.
Well, it's coming. It's not down every little road yet, but it's coming.
I'm out in the woods.
She's out in the woods. But I just, my crystal ball and my gut feeling is I think we're going to see people wanting to get in the quality of life. And that's what I sell in our community, and I'm sure you do it in yours too, or the project that you have. You know, the quality of life we have that I've experienced. I grew up in Charlotte. I lived in New York City for 10 years. I moved back to Charlotte for a couple of years, and then I came home, mother's home, up here, 100 miles north of Charlotte, in a county with 78,000 people in one and 48,000 in the adjoining county just north of Winston-Salem. I can be in Winston-Salem in 25 minutes. I can be at the Greensboro Airport in 40 minutes. So, you know, the person, I had one guy call me the other day from Winston. He said, Lou, he says, I want the heck out of here. And he says, I don't care if I have to drive an hour to work. In fact, I don't even think I'm even going to go back to work. I'm going to work at home. You know, find me something. And I think we're going to see more of that, Johnny. I really do.
Lou, what I think we're going to start seeing is an exodus from office buildings,
yeah.
An exodus from commercial space and retail space. And for those of us that also practice commercial, I think there's going to be opportunities to use the tools, the techniques that you've taught over the years to help those folks make that transition and take those piles of problems, turn it into piles of cash that it can be invested in rural property, that can be invested in small town North Carolina and America.
Yeah.
So what's that going to do to commercial and retail? I mean,
well, they're
going to
be hurting. They're going
to
be hurting.
What's it going to turn into? It'll have to be something.
The cap rates are going down. They're up, and it's just there's just going to be abandonment of space. And
that's
what
I was wondering. Abandonment of space. Yeah. That answers my question.
And
that's sad.
You know, we've got a bunch of commercial. A lot of our ALCs are CCIMs, and we have a fast track program we started with the RLI. The great Tony Rickard, Lake Tony Rickard, started that for us, who was our state president. I miss him so much. But now, last year, CCIM now finally created a fast track for ALCs. So we're reciprocated, and that's pretty exciting. But I do feel for our commercial brokers. I really do. Hey, Johnny, I want to go back to your presentation again. There was something in here that I wanted to cover. And one of the things is, why do people sell? And you just got a whole list of D's here. Would you cover that for us? Because I think it's real important.
Yeah, that's the dismal D's.
The dismal D's,
D's. What we have found when we're selling ongoing businesses, going concerns, that people that have businesses that are dark, dirty, or dangerous, the kids don't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
And what we've got over the next 5 years or less, we've got a very limited market to sell those particular assets. Now, you mentioned specifically the dismal D's, and those are a function of the timeline. The first dismal D, as far as why to sell, would be death, which involves probates and estates. And the second one, while this slide was developed years ago, second one is disease.
Yep, which we're in now.
And as unfortunately, that's what we're seeing now.
Yep.
There's going to be a high rate of morbidity with COVID-19, and I think we're just going to have to accept that. Other people become disabled, so we're looking at some sort of a disability that people run into. I'm working with a client now who had planned to make a country home. He became disabled and not able to achieve that dream, so we're marketing his property for him.
Right.
One that always comes up, divorce, division of the properties, declining help. People just don't feel like doing what it is they're doing.
Right.
Whether it's cotton or cattle or ornamental trees. Dissension among family members. They just don't know what it is they want to do, but they know they don't want to do it with their other family members or partners.
Yeah, unfortunately we see that, don't we, Teresa? Mm-hmm.
Debt. There's a lot, very high rate of debt out there right now, and if a situation takes place, which is evolving right now, where that debt cannot be serviced, the bank calls the note, and we end up in the business of representing either the landowner or the bank.
Right. You got dissension as one of those too, Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah, that was what he's talking about. The
okay.
Family.
Distraction. People get distracted. They decide they want to do something else, to live somewhere else. So that's one of the reasons that people sell.
My husband said that last night.
Next to last, D, is disaster. And we certainly witness that with the calamities, catastrophes, disasters, hurricanes, and tornadoes we've seen.
Right.
Most recently, the tornadoes that we saw in Tennessee near Nashville.
Unbelievable.
And then the last D is people just become disinterested in whatever they're doing or wherever they're living, and they want to move somewhere else. I read that baby boomers, Lou, have three more moves in them on average.
Not me.
Now, I don't know about you, but I think the next time I'm going to move, John Dunbar, who's one of the local funeral directors here, is going to move me.
Going to your permanent home.
And it's not going to be very far. It's going to be over at Fort Jackson National Cemetery.
There you go. You're forever home. That's what these kids call these.
Home.
Yeah, you're forever. Hey, Teresa.
Yes.
Now, all these things, right, if you can identify at least one person in any of these categories, you can do a direct mail campaign.
Yes.
And solicit new listings.
Well, I can identify that last one, disinterest, because my husband just said last night he wants to move to South Carolina.
Uh-oh.
Because he's wanting to retire and he's wanting to move where it's. We came down there a couple of weeks ago, and it was so nice. And he said, I want to go back and just stay.
Well, there you go. You may be calling Johnny to help you out.
Yep.
Hey, Johnny, with not a whole lot of time left, but we got a little bit. Tell us about some of these big projects you've done down there, these plantations. You're probably one of the best ones in that in the country.
Well, thank you. My background, I've always had an interest, as you have, in the military and in history. And so I became involved with the South Carolina Archives and History Foundation. And due to my leadership position there as chairman of the foundation, I had several people contact me to assist in the marketing of their historic homes. I guess the most historic home that I've ever been associated with, consulted, and sold would be Middleburg Plantation, which is on the east bank of the Cooper River. And that was owned by a gentleman, Mr. Max Hill. Max was a preeminent commercial real estate broker for many, many years. And when we served on the National Auctioneers Association, National Real Estate Association Board, he looked to me to sell that property using the auction process. I selected the best auction group available to sell it, the J.L. Todd Auction Company. And we had a massive worldwide marketing campaign. We used the convertible auction method to sell the property. and brought a price to the owners, and then it helped them resolve that issue. And from that, we moved on to other historic properties. We sold the oldest home in Richland County, South Carolina, built in 1775. And so we've been involved with many historic properties over time.
How much land was with that, Johnny?
It was not a tremendous amount of acreage. It's about 365 acres in the
But that wasn't the original plantation, was it? I'm sure some had been sold off.
No. It was. I believe over 4,000 acres.
Okay.
There.
And what was it known for?
But thank you for bringing that up. It was the home of rice production in South Carolina. It's really where rice production started, and at the home today, the 1695 home, behind it is one of the last existing rice mills, steam rice mills.
Wow.
So it's still in place there, along with the rice impoundment behind it.
Yeah, you got the only tea farm down there in South Carolina too. When we were down in Charleston for the ALC conference, we missed having you down there, Johnny. But we went and toured that place. It's the only tea place in the country.
Yes, it is, and we also are into our heritage rice now called Carolina Gold. That's being produced, and that has spurred another industry in heirloom seeds, heirloom plants, and they're all marketed in the local area there in Charleston. So that's all new markets, new agricultural markets, specialty agriculture markets, which with the farm-to-table movement, the explosion of restaurants in the Charleston area, which is fueling the New South cuisine there, which you enjoyed when you were there.
Absolutely. What about one of the other plantations you've worked on, Johnny?
An upcountry plantation that we worked on was the ancestral home of President Jimmy Carter.
All right.
That was in Belton, South Carolina, and it was a 100-acre farm, and it had all the implements with it, and President Carter, when he was in the area, he visited this place, and if you read his book, The Hornet's Nest, it's a historical novel based around his family that lived in that home at the time, which happened to be a roadhouse or a tavern.
Who was the buyer for that, Johnny?
There were three buyers. We subdivided the property. We bid the parts as a whole, and it ended up selling to three different buyers.
So you were probably able to get more money out of it like that.
And that's exactly right. What we do, we come up with a strategy to get the most money for our client.
Many I like that.
People that are in the auction business have never sold their own property at auction. And I haven't sold a lot of property at auction, but the property I have sold at auction, have sold, has been using some sort of an auction process. And I can just look back at an estate, my great aunt. She died when she was 101 years old over in small community, Cross Hill, South Carolina, in Lawrence County. And my two brothers, two sisters at the time, all had a share in the property. So we set up an auction. Anyone and everyone could bid. And so we subdivided the property. Any one of my brothers or sisters could bid and buy. They chose not to. And at the end of the auction, when combinations were called for, the one combination that was called for was as the property as a whole. And so it ended up selling to a person who we had sold for about 6 weeks before, a gentleman whose father had passed away, and he had 47 limited liability corporations in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And 6 weeks previous to that, we had sold all of that property for him. And so this gentleman shows up at my great-aunt's estate auction and bids and buys the whole estate.
Wow.
And so at the end of the auction, I asked him, I said, look, we just sold you out of all the property that was similar to this property in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. And here you are today bidding and buying this property. And his response was, well, Johnny, I had to put the money somewhere.
That's right. Hey, with just a couple minutes left, Johnny, with just a couple minutes left, what gets you up in the morning?
You know, what gets me up
in the alarm clock
is the passion that I have to serve my clients. And I would suggest if that doesn't get you up in the morning, you really need to find another business to be in.
Amen.
Because this business is time-consuming, mm-hmm. it's expensive, mm-hmm. it's nerve-wracking, and as far as I'm concerned, it's priceless. I love doing what I do. I love working with owners of all classes of real property. And what I really enjoy is seeing the look of satisfaction on their face when we've done all we can do to get them the most money for their property.
You know, I tell my students, and I've been teaching since 2002, the Land 101 class all over the country for our chapters, which I totally love to do. But I always start out, and I always say, you know, I look around the room, I said, you know, we're not realtors and we're not real estate agents. And I get real quiet, Johnny. And it doesn't take long. One of them will say, well, Lou, what are we? And I said, we're professional problem solvers, because it always starts with a problem, doesn't it, Rodney? Lou, I got a problem. I need to buy something. Lou, I got a problem. I need to sell something. And if we take that challenge and vision and complete the assignment, you know, that's what we do. It's solving this problem, solving that problem, solving this problem. And there's nothing like real estate. You know, we've got 113,000 licensed agents. I just saw the report today now in the state of North Carolina. I don't. How many you got in South Carolina down there? You have any idea?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure what the number is.
Well, it's a great vocation. It doesn't have a timing on it. We had a lady 2 years ago that was 87 years old and worked up to a week before she passed away. And it's just one of those type businesses, and we all enjoy. Johnny, tell us how to get in touch with you.
Well, you can reach me by calling my office here in Columbia, South Carolina, 803-788-7168.
What's your email?
My mobile number is 803-238-5666, and you can text me there. Or my email, john@mpjmrc.com. Visit my website at www.mpjmrc.com.
Johnny, you've been a great guest today. You've shared some really valuable information, and this is going to be one of our best shows, and I totally appreciate you being on. You're welcome to come back anytime, And I challenge you to find other folks that you know, and you know a lot of people that you'd like to invite yourself to be on the show.
Yeah.
We'll let you be the host, and Teresa and I will facilitate. So keep that in mind. It could be next week or a week from now or next month, but we're always looking for good quality shows and stuff we can share and help people in our industry. So thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source of land education. All of our shows after their broadcast this morning will be downloaded on the master website, www.letstalkland.net, letstalkland.net, also on Podbeam and Spotify. You may email me at lou@mylandpro.com. My cell phone number is 336-669-1405. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
They can email me at teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com or call me at 336-209-2937.
Rodney, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website, Lou. They can go to WKTE1090.com, and also they can download the Simple Radio app and hear us anywhere in the world.
What about the universe?
The universe also.
Really?
Yeah, even on Star Trek.
No way.
Yeah.
So they download, they can go to the website if they want to.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they can pick up the Simple Radio app there, or they can just on their iPhone or iPad download the Simple Radio, and they can listen to Beach and Oldies only happy. We only play happy music.
That's right. Only happy music. No sad music here.
Okay. And we've won some awards.
Yes. 5 years in a row being the Station of the Year on the East Coast. And also,
you got an award.
Yeah.
What was it?
Reader's Choice Award for 2019 Announcer of the Year.
Announcer of the Year. 1-1.
I have no clue yet.
Hey, thanks.
Lucky.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. You enjoyed the show today. Please join us and stay tuned for Dr. Barbie.